He's our principal of our school in the beginning, all of that. Come on in, folks. Praise the Lord. So I've been on a series, and it's this. We decided to go into this by the grace of God, by the Spirit of the living God, to renew who we are, what we stand for, what we believe here. And you know what? That doesn't happen often enough, really. And so as we get into all of this right now, I hope you'll bear with us, those who know all of these things already. On the other hand, it's always good to be renewed. Amen. And I was even thinking as we were singing the song about God reviving us, that He needs to revive us in His Word. We need to be revived in what we believe and so on. And so as we move along this morning, I came here to talk to you about grace. And, you know, I'm not here to talk to you about grace because there's a lot of talk about it lately. I'm supposed to tell you what we believe. So we didn't come here to preach against anybody. We're not against anything. We came here to preach to you about grace and what God told us to stand on in that area from His Word. And I can't do it all in one morning. I just can't. It's not possible. It's a huge subject. And so we're probably going to do it in two. But then I asked God, how do I do all of this? How do I bring all this together? And He just began to illuminate scriptures for me. And so that's what I brought you this morning, is a group of scriptures that He wants to illuminate for us today. There's so much about grace. But you know, there's so much about faith. There's so much about everything in the Word of God. And they all interconnect. Well, there are also excesses in the church community around the world. And so, you know, that, for an example, we have a background in faith, but so should every church. And sometimes there have been excesses in faith, believe it or not. There are whole denominations that have started because of excesses in faith. Did you know that? For an example, there is one denomination out there. Now, let me see if I can get it straight. This denomination, well, they believe, pray for, and confess, which are all good things about word of faith, right? But these people just take it a step further, and they deal with things that are as though they were not. Did I get that right? And what's God's principle? No, they don't go according to the scripture, these people. They started a whole denomination. They took it a step further. And it's a huge denomination all over the world today. They're excesses, I call them, in the faith. Well, there are excesses in just about everything. For an example, you know, out there today, there are people that take things a little far when it comes to righteousness. Yeah, you know, we've taught you, and groups like ours across the country, across the world, have taught you, and we've gotten you to speak it over the years. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. It's scriptural, right? But sometimes we can take righteousness and take it a little far. Anyway, we're going to talk about what we believe, what God showed us when we came to the church, to put forth that which we believe that we could stand on and know and know and know. That's what we believe. And when you connect to the church, you know what the belief system of the church is. Over all of the years, we've talked about grace. And we've talked about it loud. Grace is something. It's real. It's big. Absolutely. And without grace, we would not even be saved. Do you know that?
Come on.
we would have nothing without grace. Yep. And so it's a big, big subject, right? But it would be wrong if we left it out just because there's controversy about it. It would be wrong. We still need to know and understand what grace is to us. So we don't talk about the faith movement a whole lot. We'll say that's where our foundation was. But bottom line is we're Christians.
That's right.
And we believe in faith and know we need to have faith for things to happen. We need to have grace, and we know we need to have grace. Well, we were saved by, now, how does this go? Somebody help me. We were saved by grace, right? Through faith. And without either one of those two things, you wouldn't even know God. Isn't that something? And all the blessings that we talk about in the Word come by grace through faith. So we're going to be looking at some of that this morning. How does it all fit? Then remember this, that over the years, you've been taught much here from the pulpit. You've been taught about, you know, flesh. What does flesh mean to you? When we talk about flesh. Somebody help me.
Mind, will, and emotions.
Okay, mind, will, and emotions. Okay, the world fits it too. That's all right too. There, we could find all kinds of meanings, but it really means God's or man's way of doing things.
Yeah.
Can I boil it down to that? And then, we talk about the opposite of that, which is?
Spirit.
How about if I took it and called it grace? Would that stretch you too far? So we have the flesh, which is man's way of doing things, man's power. And then we have grace, which includes God's way of doing things by His power and authority. Okay? And I know I stretched you a little bit farther because I haven't taught it exactly that way. But on the other hand, that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. And so we have two opposing thoughts, if you like. Flesh, the world system, all of that, contains all of that. And grace, which is, now, I pulled out, instead of the Bible, although it's in the Bible, I pulled out something that I thought would bless you a little bit. This is the definition of grace. And it's just pure and simple to begin with. Grace is God's ability working in man, making man able to do what he can't do in his own ability. Amen. Now, most of us growing up, if you grew up, as a Christian in a Christian home and all of that, you probably got this definition. Grace is unmerited favor. Which is also true. It's part of the package. You probably didn't really deserve His grace. It's unmerited favor. And the other nice part I like is that it's free. It's just free. You don't have to pay anything for it. It's free. Now let's go to our first scripture this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 14. How many love God here this morning?
Amen.
How many want something from Almighty God? You came here with your expectors on this morning to receive from Almighty God. Please put John chapter 1 and verse 14 on the screen. And the Word, meaning, who's the Word? Jesus. And Jesus became flesh. And He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. What's glory mean? The manifest presence of God, right? So we beheld His presence, the glory, the manifest presence, is as of the only begotten of the Father. Now watch this statement, full of grace and truth. Well, let's not go to grace right away, let's go to truth. The truth is the Word. True? So, when He arrived, He came full of truth. But the secret, if you like, not a secret, but it's a way of saying something, the secret is that He was full of grace. Because you can't do the Word without grace. I said you can't
do
the word without grace. If you try to do the word in your own strength, remember what grace means now, that's God's strength. That is in you to work the word. When you try to do it according to the flesh, all you're going to get is failure. That's a good way to say it. Somebody else?
Confusion.
Is frustration okay here? There are a lot of frustrated people trying to do the Word of God because they've not caught on. The Word can't be done with any fruitfulness without a manifestation of grace. That's pretty big. So picture, Jesus became flesh and he came here to dwell among us as a man. He came to dwell among us as a man. He left all that heaven could afford and arrived of his own volition according to the plan of God to this earth as a man. As he comes as a man, yet as a man, he has the presence of Almighty God. And he's full of the power of God. He's full of the ability of God. And he's full of truth. He knows the word. Isn't that neat? And so I want you to hear a lot of things this morning. I want you to see that you were created in his image. And so you have grace. Here's where some of the fine line comes now in the some of the grace teaching that's out there and what we believe as a church is that there are many out there that believe that you don't have to reach out and find a way, if you like, reach out and take hold of grace. But we're going to prove that a bit wrong here this morning. Not because we're mad at anybody, but we just need to understand some things in case we've taken a load of some things on the inside of us. Here it is. In the Garden of Eden, God gave man everything that you would have need of. How many believe that?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's take that over a step and find that man fell. And so when they fell in the garden, they were put out of the garden. Is that true?
That's right.
As they were put out of the garden, then they did not have access to all the things that the garden afforded. Is that true? Then Jesus came. Sent to earth. Why was he sent to earth? By the way, these are really simple teachings, but we need to remind ourselves of them. Why was Jesus sent to earth?
To redeem what Adam lost.
That's a good way of saying it. To redeem what Adam lost. Anybody else? Well, yes, to set the captives free. Uh-huh.
Salvation.
Brother Gary, say again.
Bring salvation to all mankind.
Bring salvation to all mankind. I mean, he had a load on, didn't he?
Yeah.
he brought total change. He brought us to a place, an awesome place if we'll have it.
Amen.
When we get saved, I'm shortcutting some things, but I just want us to, through all the things that we know, kind of collectively bring some thoughts together. So the bottom line is when we got saved, something happened. This is maybe a stretch for you, but here's the deal. The Garden of Eden came on to the inside of us. Are you still with me this morning? The kingdom of God is within you. True?
That's right.
So the Garden of Eden, everything we have need of,
amen. Good stuff.
It's inside me. It's inside you. If you're a born-again child of the living God, everything you have need of is inside you. However, it doesn't operate just because it's in you. There are various things that God would have us do in order to partake of what's on the inside of us. Some of those things, one of those things is prayer. Prayer is on the inside of you. Everything that you have need of is on the inside of you. But you need to pray. Think about something that you have need of right now. For an example, do you need anointing? What do you have to do to get anointing? Oh, does it just come because you're a good guy or a good gal? There are so many things that are on the inside of us that we could say, and we could stretch it and say, for an example, we'll go to grace. Grace, the grace of God's on the inside of you. But you don't get grace by just thinking about it. God shows us over and over again in His Word how to attain grace, how to reach out and take hold of it. Now, it's on the inside of you, but you do some things in order for that grace to operate. Does that make sense? Does it make any at all? Did I lose you out there? Let's just continue in the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures have to say to us this morning. I'm not allowed to say, are you getting anything out of this? So that's a no-no now, Brother Gary. Yeah.
Well, you have to walk by faith just like everybody else.
You want to preach this, dear? Jesus Himself, when He became a man, He had to walk by grace just like everybody else.
Amen.
He could only walk in the truth that He had, that we had up on the screen here this morning, as a man by receiving God's ability. Mm-hmm. The only way. Grace did what Jesus did as a man. Well, let me say it a little differently. He was full of grace and truth, God's ability, God's power, and the Word of God, or what God had said. That grace allowed Him to work the Word. And it's the same for you. It's the same for me.
Amen. Amen.
You
Amen.
Can try to work it by your strength, but you will fail. And you will be a disillusioned Christian, like there's lots of them out there. Perhaps some here this morning, trying to work the Word by their own strength will cause failure. So think about what we read this morning. Jesus came to earth as a man, full of God's ability. You're full of God's ability right now. You're full of it. Oops. I didn't mean it like that. And in order for that Word that He had, that you have, to work, you'll have to find a way in your life to partake in that grace. Otherwise, Christianity is not much fun. Working the Word is not fun in your own strength. That's what the whole Old Testament was about. People who had the Word, but tried to do it in themselves. So now God makes a new way, comes into a new covenant with us, and He gives us grace. His power to do it. The first covenant was really just to point us, sorry to say it this way, but how much of a sinner we were. Let us have a good look at ourselves. Trying to do it in our own strength. Now we come into this wonderful, new and better covenant. And what's new and better about it? Grace. Grace?
Amen.
Isn't that good? So let's look at John 1:16. A couple of verses over. And of His fullness, whose fullness? Jesus. He was full of grace and truth, it said. And of His fullness, we have all received. And grace for grace. every grace you'll ever need, every part of His ability you'll ever need. And He even added to that. You already have. And of His fullness, we have. That's past tense. Past tense. You already have it. Yeah. You've got God's grace on the inside. That's a big thing, though. Understanding that, hey, I've got on the inside of me every grace I'll ever need. I don't have to stir up something. I just need to learn to walk in it. I just need to be able to, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say it this way. Approach the throne of grace. We'll look at that actual scripture for you, but you all know it. In order to have that power and ability working on the inside of us, we've got to approach the throne of grace and do it boldly, knowing we have a right to operate in it. That's a big deal, folks. Oh, let's go to the next verse. And the law was given through Moses. Let me just stop right there. Mankind had the word, the truth, before Jesus came. Think about that for a minute. It's been around, this word, this truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if you like, truth came through Moses, right in the back in the beginning. But grace and truth, the power, the ability of God and truth came with Jesus. And when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it was ours. It became ours. Are you connecting to that this morning? Praise God. So Jesus brought us truth, but not truth alone. He brought us the power and ability to do the truth. I'm hoping that's connecting. When He came, He brought us truth, but He also brought us the ability to live that truth. So I want to say this to you. Knowing the Word is simply not enough. Having studied the Word is just not enough. We'll need to know how to appropriate the needed grace to live the Word. That's a big thing. Not only the Word that is the scripture, but the word that God speaks into your heart as well. All takes the ability of God. All takes the power of God. Otherwise, tough life, man. All you'll know is failure. Not fun. And I liked what Wayne said this morning, and I was sitting here connecting to the thoughts that I'd been having and what God had been dealing with my heart about to bring this morning. And I want you to know this, that we're probably not going to get into it big this morning, but let's connect it like this. Grace is connected with the relationship that you have with Almighty God. It flows out of all of that. So I'm nodding my head, and I was sitting there doing that as Wayne brought that this morning. There's so much that comes by our relationship with Almighty God. With Jesus the Son, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. Tell you what, that's big, but remember that Jesus brought it to us. So I want us to go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, because I believe it'll show us something here that's big. Joan, would you open this for me, please? So is that. And the child grew, the child being Jesus, right? And so Jesus grew, and He became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him. There are many versions of this from all the different versions. I did a study in the Word of God, and you might find it fun to do that. The bottom line is the child grew. And he became strong in spirit. Another way of saying that is he becomes strong in his relationship with Almighty God. Filled with wisdom. Now he's growing, right? He wasn't filled with wisdom from the beginning. This whole thing means it's a growing thing. It's something that continuously happens on the inside of us as we become strong in our relationship with Almighty God. Filled with wisdom continuously. And the grace of God was upon him, meaning out of all of this that he grew in grace as well. Do I know all there is to know about that? I don't. But I know this, that there is, as we develop our relationship, as we move on with God, as we work things out, the word out, if you like, in our lives by grace, that grace grows too. That it's something that happens on the inside of us as we continue to seek God to use His grace to do His word. That make any sense to you this morning? So, one of the versions had it saying this, and I wrote it down. He grew in his understanding of God's power working in him. He grew in his understanding of God's power working in him. Have you ever read the word and thought to yourself, well, I can do that? I have. But it's a wrong thinking. Unless I have the revelation that the word cannot be done without grace, then it's okay to say, well, I can do that, meaning I can do that with His grace that's on the inside of me. With His power and His ability, I can do that. His grace is within us. I should watch what I do with this thing. I'll turn it and put it underneath you, and it twists that way. And then I hold it like this, and it turns that way. And then I try to flip it up, and it shuts off like it did there. I need to learn how to use electronics. Come on, come on. Now it's saying I don't want to open. There we are. So the whole deal is, though, that if I want grace to work in my life, I have to believe the truth. So it's a flip-flop situation here, huh? If I want grace, I must believe the truth. If you don't believe the truth, how many know that's sin? So I want to pop over and deal with sin for a minute because there's a great connection here. One of the greatest lies of the devil is that sin brings pleasure. Now you may say, well, yeah, but it's in the Bible. Yes, but in a way that God's identifying how sin works. He didn't mean that you're supposed to.
No.
No, leave that alone. For most people, though, in their thought process, in their belief system, sin is the list of fun, pleasurable things that God doesn't want you to do. I got to say it again, without the D there. For most people, sin is a list of fun, pleasurable things that God doesn't want you to do. Isn't that something else? Within that same trail of lies is the thought that the will of God is the list of painful, difficult things that God wants you to do. That's in a whole lot of people's thought process. And as long as you really view sin as pleasure, you'll always go back to it. And by the way, a lot of people think that they are fighting the devil every day. They're not. They're fighting their belief system. They're fighting thoughts and imaginations. It's a fight with your thoughts, not with the devil, most of the time. I qualify that a bit, but most of the time has nothing to do with the devil at all. We keep chasing the devils when what we really should be chasing is our imaginations and thought lives that don't line up with the Word of God. Hope that makes some sense. What we need to get to is this. We need to come to a realization that sin is pleasurable for a moment, as the Bible says, but always leads to the most excruciating pain imaginable. If we can come to that thought process, sin will lose its appeal.
That's right.
Usually, believing just that one truth will totally break the alluring power of sin. And then finally about sin, God wants you to avoid sin because he's a mean old God. No, that's not it. Just because he just wants his way. No. He wants you to avoid sin because sin will destroy you. Now, here's a stretch for you. And if you want to throw this away, you can. But I've come to know and understand this. That every pain in my life right now, every pain in your life right now, is the product of some sinful action, attitude, or belief. That's a stretch, isn't it? I'll just deposit that there. You deal with it. Hebrews 4:16. I mentioned this earlier, but I wanted to bring the scripture back up for us here. Let's do 15 first, can we? Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he's been tempted just like we have been. And I know we say that lightly sometimes. We speak it, we read it, but the bottom line is every temptation that you've ever had, he's had. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. Like Brother Gary says, pretty wild if you think about it. I don't even like to think about that. It just bothers me to think about it, but he had to go there so that he could overcome sin. He had to go there. So now taking that thought that he has been tempted just like us, he's a man. Let's now go to verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Wait a minute. Let us therefore, what's that therefore? Let us therefore, back to verse 15. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted just like us. But remember what he had. Full of grace and truth. He not only had the Word of God, but the power of God to do the Word of God. And that's a huge issue. Okay? Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Oh, how do we get mercy into the mix of all of this? Remember that mercy is the power of God to forgive. Mercy is the power of God to forgive. That we may obtain, so I could even say it this way, couldn't I? That we may obtain grace, or excuse me, that I may obtain forgiveness and find the power of God to help in time of need. That's huge. Mm-hmm. What is our time of need anyway? Our time of need is usually when we're being drawn into sin. Not always, but usually. And sometimes it's right after we've sinned. When we lack the confidence to go forward with God. How many know that a lot of people get into sin and then they get into condemnation? And that condemnation robs them of their confidence to go on with God. Then let's also look at Galatians 2:21. I'm almost done. What we believe about grace. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God. Who's speaking here? Paul. I do not set aside the grace of God, meaning Paul doesn't do that. For if righteousness comes through the law, now if we just say the law, that conjures something up in people's mind. So if righteousness comes through the world system, the man's power, man's ability, if righteousness just comes through that, then Christ died in vain. Now we're stepping over into something that's for next week. But remember that the Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a faith statement, and it's not just a statement that you connect with the big preachers on grace today. It's simply something we've believed always. It's always been there. So understand that righteousness has a noun position in the Bible and a verb position in the Bible. And so if you just read righteousness the same way all the time, that's wrong. You have to know what the original word was there to tell whether it's a noun or a verb. If it's a verb, you might not like this very much, but the verb has a works content to it. The verb is to do something for God by His grace and His power and ability and all of that, but still allowing Him to use us to do something.
Yeah.
Or the righteousness, which is a noun, is a status that we have in God.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you? So, in other words, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is not completed as a verb, but it's completed as a noun. But if we always try to apply it as a noun, we won't ever do anything for God.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Preaching good.
Okay, I'm just going to leave that alone. And we'll to be continued. Because righteousness connects with grace big. But that's another whole subject for us to get into. Today we're looking for a basic definition of how grace works. And then we'll jump into the second part next week where we approach this thing and figure out how our righteousness fits in all of this, which is our belief system, okay? I do not set aside the grace of God. Neither can we.
No.
We can't set aside the power of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, I can, if you like, to go to the Bible and do a study of all the different Bibles, you'd be amazed at how this comes out differently in so many different versions. I was playing in the ESV version at 5 o'clock this morning, and 6 o'clock, excuse me, and it was really neat what that particular version said. But we could literally look at it like this. I don't set aside the grace of God. For if anything from the Word comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You understand? One of the biggest things that He delivered to us as grace was our being able to tap into the power of Almighty God to do all this. And so, whatever your belief system is, whatever you need to attach from the Word of God needs to be attached to grace. We'll need to apply God's power, God's ability to that so that we can function and not be frustrated, so that we can move ahead, so we can do what he's told us to do. Are you connecting this morning? Grace brings all that. So what's grace? God's ability. Where are we at? A time to make decisions. Whether I'm going to keep on trying to do this in my strength, or whether I'm going to attach God's grace to everything I believe from the Word. Now you may say, well, that's real simple. No, it doesn't seem simple. But you know what? It's there. He made it available to us. His power and ability is available to us. It even lives on the inside of us.
Yeah.
We just have to make a decision that we're not going to do the Word by our own strength. That God's way of doing things is to do it by His strength, all the way, by His grace for us. And if we will, if we'll say to ourselves, whoa, wait a minute, all of this Word that we know, all of this truth that we know, should only be operated by His grace. And His grace lives within us. I see a lot of people looking at me saying, what are you talking about? Just His power. Just His ability. And He made a way. And Jesus arrived on this earth with it. We read that already. When He came to earth, what did he get when He arrived? What did He bring when He arrived? Full of God's ability and His power and truth, our revelation of the Word of God. That's truth to us, right? So when you read the Word of God, your consideration should be like this. That's awesome. Don't you do that sometimes? You're reading the Word of God and something just comes off the page to you and say, wow. But the wow needs to be connected. And I need to get into grace for that. Because it's an empowerment of His Word. It's his revelation of the Word. Revelation means not just knowing something, but doing it by His grace and power. That's fairly huge. Grace is big. It's so big to us, it's the difference between laboring after the gospel. Well, let me put it this way. And again, this will come up next week, but hear it, or the next time I get to preach. The bottom line in all of this is it was never designed to be done in man's efforts. The Word of God was never designed to be done according to man's efforts. When I say, I can do that, I better mean, I can do that through God, His power and His ability. That's big, isn't it? It's really big. And so, we're called to a certain rest in Him. The rest comes through grace. It doesn't come through how perfect you did the Word. It doesn't come through all the things you did and your strength. It comes through grace. Just like we were saved by grace through faith. Let's face it. You just can't be happy and try to do the Word of God in your own strength. You'll just be a frustrated Christian. So, our ability or God's ability, what will you choose? How will you live your life? How will you be a Christian? Because there's no in-between. A lot of people think, oh, here's how it works. This is all I need to do. I'll do it in my strength until I run out of my strength. And then grace, well, that's what God adds when I run out of my ability. Wrong. It's not how the thing works at all. It was entirely set out by God to be done in His power and His ability. And so our whole thought process needs to change. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, last scripture. You have become, how many know this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church, right? And how many know that they were going through trouble times at this point? And so he says, well, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by your own power and ability, you have fallen from grace. In other words, and there are lots of scriptures like this where you can frustrate the grace of God, have the grace of God become of no effect in you and all of that. Well, that's what he's talking about here. When you try to do things by your own ability, whatever it is that's of God, you've fallen from grace. You exclude yourself from grace. So our thinking, our revelation has to change. Otherwise, the old I can do it thing will be there. And you will make grace of no effect in your life, even excluding yourself from it. So it takes, our belief system is, that we need to learn with all of our hearts, with all of our beings, that accompanied with truth is the power of God to do the truth. That we were not designed to do it in our own flesh. And when I get my believing in line with God, when you get your believing in line with God, grace comes forth. Grace comes forth. And we'll talk some more about that next time. My prayer is that as you leave here today, that grace, the power of God to do the word, is more real to you than it ever was before.
Amen.
That when you leave here today, that connection between grace and the word, truth, never leaves your thought process. Yes, I have that revelation from the Word of God. Yes, I can do the Word of God through grace that's within me, the power of God, not my own power. And it's something new, something wonderful, something awesome will take you over to the place where there's a joy in working the Word, to the place where truth is so real, but God's ability so real as well. Imagine he gave us the word and his ability to do it.
Yeah.
But most of us have been trying to do it in our own flesh, our own strength. And you know that's nothing but ugly.
Yeah.
That's hard, man. Your choice. Isn't that amazing? God gave us all that and then gave us our choice whether we're going to try and do it in our own flesh or take his power and ability.
Yeah.
Your choice. That's the way he is. He's an awesome God, isn't he?
Amen.
Imagine in the Old Testament, most of them had to do the word only by their own flesh. Ugly. But then Jesus brings us the power of the living God to do his word.
Amen.
Don't you love it? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that's all I've got to say about that for today. Praise the Lord.